Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
If you have health insurance, you might be able to see a personal dietitian for $0 out of pocket. Nourish connects you with a dietitian that fits your needs, covered by your insurance. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans, and 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. With hundreds of five-star reviews from real patients, you know you're in good hands. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Happy Masters Day.
Yes, sir.
One to you. Golf is going. And happy Thursday to all you fine folks out there. Let's get going on an In the Loop Thursday. John Lopez, Reginald Attitude, and Figgy Fig hanging out with you. On the day, we will get you some buy or sell later in the day. And then also another day in which we are giving away tickets to see Brian Regan, if you are so inclined. That'll happen in a 1 o'clock hour for when he comes into town in December to the Bayou Music Center. So, yeah, we'll do that later on in the show. All those things. And we'll get going right now. Mm-hmm. Lopez, how you feeling today?
I'm feeling fantastic.
And I know you are because it's the Masters.
Oh, my God. That is not going to be on my list. Spoiler alert. I watch golf every week pretty much, and this is like the Super Bowl. I'm watching it right now on my screen here.
Me too.
Well, on my personal computer screen.
Okay. Where's our guy Cam Smith?
Cam Smith, even through seven. Cam Smith.
We got to get a sounder.
He's hitting the ball the other way.
All right.
Hey, I was talking about the other Cam Smith. What you talking about? The Astros Cam Smith.
More people know the other Cam Smith, the golfer Cam Smith.
By the way, Sean, can you tap back in for me for a second?
Yeah. What's up?
Did you hear this argument or debate that happened yesterday during Confessions? In talking about Cam Smith, Astros right fielder, John made the realization that, oh yeah, that's right, there is the Australian golfer Cam Smith. And I think I'll let you kind of give off your take
more
here.
More people around the world and in this country are familiar with him than are Cam Smith.
I'm not. I'm more familiar. I don't know who Cam Smith, the golfer, is.
Really?
Yeah, no, I'm
he
not.
He won the British Open, finished second in the Masters.
That wasn't in America. I only pay attention to the ones that are
second,
in America.
Masters second a couple of years
yeah,
ago?
Yeah, I just, yeah. I mean, I Cam Smith, the Astros won. So your contention that.
No, I think it's actually.
You're probably right.
Yeah.
You're probably right.
The question I asked was, at what point does baseball Cam Smith surpass golf Cam? Like, what is he, rookie
of
the year?
See, I'm a horrible person to ask because he's already surpassed him.
Fair enough. Yeah, you met his family and everything. Like, this is different. Okay.
So I don't have a great answer to that because that's my Cam Smith, number 11 for the Astros, is already at the forefront.
But number one in your heart. I see you.
Yeah.
I feel you.
But it's a great day. Yeah. It's a great day.
Yeah, it's a great day.
Next 4 days.
Very good. We'll try and keep you updated as to what's happening in the Masters for those who are inclined, which it seems like is everybody if you care about a ball bouncing or, you know, sliding or a puck or something. If you care about sports, the Masters seems to be on your radar. All right, what's also on your radar, speaking of Cam Smith, this happened yesterday.
Now back in there for the second straight game. And he hits the ball to right field for a base hit. That'll score Caratini. Myers going first to third. Astros lead 2-0. Cam Smith back-to-back games with an RBI now, two in his big league career.
There you go. Building that two RBI for Cam Smith.
Another Cam Smith highlight.
Yeah, there you go. A few more of those, and you're going to be number one in the world, baby. Keep going.
Take that, Cam Smith, Aussie.
Yeah, take that, mullet Cam Smith.
Where you going right now, you'll be on the fries.
Let's go. But you had a first inning in which you stacked a few of those singles together, and you got some runs. A little bit of offense came together.
Yeah.
I don't know how you rate the offense, because it didn't happen a ton of times, and of course, free bases, free passes were what helped you get a lot of those runs on the board, because you were able to get those singles with runners in scoring position because they got on base. But then the pen came back around and gave it away. I'm going to be honest with you, Lopez, right up front.
Mm-hmm.
I found it hard to lock in on this game.
Because it was so bad?
No. I don't know. I feel like it's probably a mixture of the conversation we had a day or two ago about, like, are you having fun watching the Astros?
Yes.
And, like, I'm not having as much fun. And then also, I think just all the things happening yesterday, and then to take it away from that, I had some other things I was doing on the computer at the same time.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I found it hard to lock in. How was it for you, especially seeing that it felt like early on, oh, wow, the offense is here.
I was actually more locked in for some strange reason.
Well, to some degree, the offense is here.
At the end, because it was like watching a car crash. It really was... And that was my takeaway, with this game. It we're all going to say it's early, but this was not an it's early type of game. And let me explain.
I think I agree, actually.
Yeah, this was not an it's early kind of game, because one thing that's certain about this team, I think the vast majority of people would say it's certain about this team. This ain't your 2017, 2021, 2022 Astros. They are not equipped to just wet themselves in a game like this, no matter what time of the season.
So they ain't gonna flip a switch?
Well, okay. Now, they flipped a switch last year, right?
Sure did.
That was a different team.
They flipped that switch in September.
That was a different, entirely different team. Better pitching, better hitting.
They were fumbling around in the dark before they found that switch.
Yeah, they were.
It was September, and it was rolling.
Well, let me ask you about this. Can this team do that? Can this team fall? What were they at one point? 10 games back? 11 games back?
Oh, is it possible that they actually fall behind, or are you
talking about flipping a switch? Can this team flip a switch?
Is Alex Bregman on this team?
No.
No, I don't think so.
That's what I'm saying. That's why I don't...
Well, the tough thing about that is there's still a lot of juice offensively that this team is not tapped into, though.
Mm-hmm.
And then the starting pitching is really good, or has been pretty good at the very least, at the top end, with Hayden Wesneski as well. Even if Renault Blanco and Spencer Urgetti have had, a little bit of ups and downs. For themselves, like, you've had some good starting pitching, you've had good offense, your infield defense, which is what you were looking for, has been pretty damn good outside of, like, Brent Rogers, oddly enough, having some weird throws from time to time. Like, I think that there's situations where, and I mean, we saw this, like, we had this in our minds that there's situations where you could be good, but I don't think I think I would go with no just based off of the idea that in general coming back from that deep of a hole is not something that I should assume happens multiple times.
Even with great teams.
But this feels like a team that should not be far off from the type of team that they were last year. So in that vein, I would say yes. I just don't want to test it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to try and do that again.
And that was my reasoning for this is not in its early type of game, because this one's going to leave a mark. This one's going to hurt. I mean, Hunter Brown, nails. Absolute nails. Was it six innings? And then just a pathetic performance out of the bullpen. You know, Luis Contreras comes in. He goes boom, 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 gets a couple of outs, and you're thinking, all right. And then all of a sudden, you know, gave up the salami. Okert retired, came in and gave up the grand slam to Arozarena. And then Brian Abreu, where did that come from?
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus tax, for a limited time and subject to change, max one offer per account.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
That's the thing that's kind of dicey or scary. Mm-hmm. And you tell me if I'm wrong here. Like, at least in you would have hoped that you have with Hader and Abreu, mm-hmm. you have the backstops that you feel like can get things done when you need it, especially mm-hmm. in a park that's not, you know, hitter friendly, and for a Mariners team that's not particularly great at hitting. But you issue a couple of walks, like you lose your command, and it makes me wonder, like, how many guys do you feel great about in high leverage situations on the back end? Because, like, you in theory you had two, mm-hmm. but I got questions about Brian Abreu if you are in those circumstances where you need him in the ninth, like, you know, like you had to.
Yeah, last night.
Hader obviously has had those issues, particularly in, like, save situations, which those are situations where you really want him to be nails, mm-hmm. right? I think that could be a real impediment to doing the things that you would hope an Astros team capable of doing.
Well, and that's the other part of why, you know, it's not an it's early game to me. There is no wiggle room. We all talk about margins. Sometimes it's used too much. But there is none at the back end of this rotation. And, you know, as much as Ryan Pressly, you know, could have, you know, been upset or whatever it was, and he's not here anymore, boy, that was a luxury. That was a luxury to have. And now you've got Abreu and Hader. Hader's already gone two innings, you know, and you're going to put some more pressure on Abreu. And then what? You know, you've got the bullpen. You have an injury in the bullpen already. You've got some arms that are maybe a little bit questionable. There's that. The offense, maybe that's gonna really spark and get on a real tear. But there are players that are just not performing at that much, at a very high level. Previous Astros teams could kind of shrug this loss off, is what I'm saying.
Yeah,
this one cannot.
No, because I mean, this is why spring training was so intriguing, is mm-hmm. because you're kind of charting a new path in some ways, right? You're dealing with, oh wow, I realized before I said it, this is going to be such a dorky thing to say. Mm-hmm. Rock with me here. You're dealing almost with a little bit of a ship of Theseus type situation, right? Mm-hmm. If you're not familiar, it is kind of the, what is it, like a thought experiment of...
First of all, you're throwing too many big words at me, okay? Now, because I don't understand them, I'm going to take them as disrespect.
Fair. I tried to get away from the drop by disclaiming it on the front end, didn't get it. But, like, it's a thought experiment of, all right, if you have a ship and you keep changing the parts on the ship, at what point
is it the same ship?
Yeah, at what point is it still the same ship, or at what point is it just a new ship?
Yeah.
And you're kind of getting there with this Astros team where, you know, so many of the pieces and the parts you've changed over time, mm-hmm. which is natural for, like, a team. But how much of this can you also draw through as that same lifeblood mm-hmm. of a team? And it feels like you're trying to figure out if this is that similar kind of Astros team as before, or mm-hmm. if this is a whole new team that has to chart its path.
Yeah.
And I'm leaning towards the latter.
That's a really good analogy there.
Thank you.
It really is. Sorry if it confused some people.
I hope that somebody learned something at least.
The ship of Theseus is the term.
Sound like be an annoyingly smart person to your friends now.
Just because here's the thing. If you still have Altuve and Yordan and Fromber, are you still the Astros if the other parts have changed, is what you're saying?
That's the question. And, I mean, obviously you're still the Astros, but, like...
Well, those Astros.
How close are you to that portion or that kind of Astros team?
Yeah.
And I don't know that I feel comfortable with them, like, if they were to get in a hole. Again, mm-hmm. we would do the typical disclaiming. It is indeed early, and I was moderately encouraged that you saw that they could stack some hits, mm-hmm. right? Because that was something that wasn't even happening, stacking hits. They still need extra base hits in this. And
they
know,
tacked on a run late, and you're thinking, all right, well, that was trouble, but maybe they'll still be able to pull this out.
Right.
And then no. Abreu. What's the deal with this city and the last name Abreu?
Yeah. Although, do you feel like Christian Walker is exercising some of that with his defense at first? Because he has been phenomenal mm-hmm. defensively at first.
He saved a lot of plays.
Like, when was the last time you had that level defense at first?
Well, I said it coming in. I mean, that's going to be one of the bigger parts. Now, we need his bat.
Certainly.
But that's going to be one of the bigger parts of making the replacement and making do, so to speak, with this club and some of the losses that you have.
But, all right. So we were talking about the pen. Can we talk? Hear from Espada. I want to hear if you're agreeing with his perspective. This is Espada 2 talking about Oker and Abreu's performance.
No, really trying to stay away from four outs. You know, game 10. You know, really trying game. You know, just trying to be careful. I have a lot of confidence in those guys, and Oker has been really good for us since the beginning of spring. So. You know, gave Abreu the ball with, you know, had two runs in the ninth. It's a pretty good spot for him, but we just couldn't close the deal.
Kind of makes you want to run through a wall, doesn't it?
No, not particularly. From the 713, why no Van Way or Van Wy?
Mm-hmm.
Is it Van Wy? Yeah. Last night. He's a closer. He can close, do setup. Why aren't they using him? I mean, there's going to be some figuring out of this pen. How much belief do you have? Because, I mean, some managers have that reputation of just knowing the right moves to make mm-hmm. in the pen. Like, especially in a situation now where I don't know that you have absolutes when it comes to I select him and I put him in this particular situation and he does the job.
Mm-hmm.
How confident are you in Espada's ability to kind of make those selections in the pen? Because that's one of the big things that a manager does is deciding when and which arms to utilize on the mound. And that it feels like that's going to become a bigger deal this season for the Astros.
I think it could. So I'm not going to give him a total pass here, but I think I'm not going to focus in on that too much because okay. they've been pretty good. And his decision making has been pretty good.
And that's that was ultimately a question. So yeah. you feel pretty confident, relatively confident.
But last night was a bad day.
Certainly,
it was a bad day for him. It was a bad day for the pitching coach. It was obviously a bad day for the relievers. And I think more than that, it was just a night where you saw some more red flags here. I think they're so thin. Every MLB team is trying to bolster their bullpen. Every single one of them.
Certainly,
but they're real thin. I think, and especially when you go into 7, 8, 9. I mean, it's 8-9 right now, and when Hader's not around, it's 9, and that's it.
Yeah, and the thing that really got me was the issuing walks.
Yes.
Right? Like, if maybe you're getting hit, or actually, is it better if you're issuing walks than if you're getting hit particularly? Like, either way, the result isn't really good.
Well, not when you give up a grand slam.
Yeah, that's fair enough. So, 5-7 Astros through 12 games at this point. Still hoping that they try and find themselves. And yeah, 281, fair enough. Like, I don't feel Espada as a real rally the guys kind of coach.
That's what I said.
Like, he's very much, you know, he's going to trust his guys and believe them to figure it out. Maybe that's where you'll feel the impact of losing Alex Bregman is who are the guys on the team that mm-hmm. get them to that space. So from the 979, known confidence in Joe's decisions, but it's not all in him. He was given a very poor quality bullpen to work with. And that's where you're at right now. Hopefully, like, Van Wy will, like, add into that. And it, depending on where they are, like, that's way down the line. But you'll see what it looks like maybe at the trade deadline. And then also, you know, hopefully if there's reinforcements that come back, we're still looking for the return to health for some folks. Like, mm-hmm. Arrigetti, we know, is not actually getting surgery. So they'll revisit that in a couple of weeks and see if that broken thumb is in a better place. And then Lance McCullers, like, that's still a thing where hopefully early portions of next month you get another starting pitcher in, and then you can kind of have Gusto back in his place. He is going to be stretched out, mind you, Ryan Gusto, to be the starter, I believe. And I forget it as soon as I want to go to it. But later on in the week when you face off against the Angels, so you'll have the day off today, and the Astros are back at it on Friday. Today's Thursday, Reginald. on Friday against the Angels at Daikin Park, 3-3 road trip, and it doesn't feel 500. I'm gonna be completely honest. All right. You're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, there was also another team playing yesterday. It was the Rockets, but they decided to sit their guys. So it was the Stay Ready Rockets, and they competed with the Clippers. Was them competing meaningful, or was it just a fun story? 713-572-4610. We'll do it next.